Techonomics on KGO 810. Whether it's access to promotions or equal pay for equal work, workplace inequality issues have dogged Silicon Valley for decades. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton starts things off with the author of a new book that addresses this uneven playing field.
The problem is not just a startup techie Silicon Valley issue. I mean, it's throughout all of the industries that I've worked in, throughout media, there is no doubt that there is a huge gender wage gap.
Also this week, a smart glass company that's pushing science fiction-style technology into homes and businesses. And we take a look at the best airlines in the U.S. and just how frequent flyer programs are changing so they can keep more loyal customers. All that and a little more on this week's Techonomics, starting now on KGO 810.
You must be raving mad. We're on the air. Look, what's the idea? Come back here.
1, 2...
Hello and welcome to this hour of Techonomics. My name is Jason Middleton and I'm the host. Each week we cover trends and issues in and around Silicon Valley, the entire tech sector really, as well as the stuff that touches our home budgets, things like taxes or the job market or inflation. This week we're going to start with our ongoing coverage of wage inequality, women in the workplace, and how the labor market continues to shift. To start, we have the author of a new book entitled Fearless and Free, How Smart Women Pivot and Relaunch Their Careers. So we dive into that key issue, that 77 cents versus a dollar thing, and we also look at how experienced workers really have to adopt a new normal when it comes to their careers. Put it this way, luck favors the prepared. Let's start with part one of my conversation with an author talking about her new book and her life experience.
It's Wendy Sachs, and I'm the author of Fearless and Free, How Smart Women Pivot and Relaunch Their Careers.
Yeah, there are two great words there, pivot and relaunch in your subtitle. We're going to get to that in a second, but I'd like to know, where did this book grow from?
That's right. You know, everyone has an origin story. And this book really comes from personal experience. I have had a lot of really interesting, exciting jobs, at least exciting by, how I see them. I had started on Capitol Hill as a press secretary. I moved into television. I was a TV producer at Dateline NBC and CNN and at Fox. I had worked at a startup. I had done a whole bunch of different things. And then I was actually working at Gray Advertising, which was sort of random because I don't actually really work in advertising, but they were creating a new content studio. And as you probably know, these sort of content studios are emerging everywhere. Everyone's trying to figure out how to monetize content and what that looks like and what that means. And I thought, this is a great opportunity. This is where everything's moving. You know, journalism as I know it is sort of dying out. I need to get in on that new bright and shiny, the next wave of content, the next wave of journalism. So I went over to Gray, and Gray had actually been my client when I worked in PR, so I had a great relationship over there. I went there. I was there for 6 months as a full-time freelancer. Of course, that's what's happening these days. No one wants to pay benefits, so everyone's basically freelancing. And after 6 months, they realized they couldn't figure out how to monetize this content. It wasn't working with their business model of, $10 million commercials. Cheapening content within Gray was not working. So I was out of a job, and I started to panic. I was over 40 and wondering, what's going to be my next job? And I still felt like I needed to get in at one of these, emerging companies, one of these, VaynerMedias, these, bright and shiny startups that are popping up all over New York City. And I started interviewing. And I would go to these hybrid companies, and almost always I was interviewed. In fact, I will say always I was interviewed by a millennial, and not to diminish, the talent that comes out of young people at all. But what I was finding was they couldn't make sense of my background. I'd done all of these different things, and they couldn't put me in a box. And coupled with, they didn't have this salary to pay me. So I was being interviewed by people. It seemed like that entire year that I was interviewing, everyone had graduated from college in 2009, uh-huh. which would have put them around, 28 years old. And in 2009, I had had an 8-year-old and I had a 6-year-old. So I was in a very, very different place.
Yeah.
And so as I walked out of one of these interviews, I you know, grabbed my coconut water and a fistful of kale chips, and I walked out, and I thought, I need to figure this out. I'm going to need to rebrand myself. I'm going to need to hone my story and tell it better. I'm going to need to, you know, lean into the skill set that I have, but figure out the new skills that I need to acquire. And I really started looking to, you know, the whole, like, pivot mentality that comes out of Silicon Valley. You know, I truly believe we have this cultural crush right now on Silicon Valley. You know, they obviously sort of, you know, our entire, from the workforce to the way we communicate, everything is influenced by Silicon Valley. And so I started looking to the themes and the lessons that come out of the Valley, and is there a way that women can apply that to their own careers? And I started looking at things like engineering serendipity, which is a very trendy theme that, by the way, has trickled down into creative agencies and advertising agencies and things like that. You know, that we know that serendipity is not a happy accident. It's strategic. And then I looked at the whole concept of embracing failure. Well, what does that really mean? How can women really use that? The whole, you know, personal branding and professional branding. We all need to be a brand. We all need to think like entrepreneurs. You know, all of those different types of lessons. And I started writing this book and applying those themes to women and their careers.
You know, Wendy, you mentioned a couple things in that answer, and I appreciate you painting the picture for us, because, first of all, I can empathize with some things that are happening. I'm not a woman, obviously, but I am also pivoting. I have a side hustle. I'm under contract with another company to see if it fits. But you're right. It's almost a la carte. If I don't have a skill, then I have an opportunity to learn it. But I'm learning that skill probably from a 30-year-old. Who doesn't,
right.
who sees right. My resume as what my wife calls creative, because I've worked on every media platform, radio, television, web companies I've run, print. I started in newspapers. I mean, remember newspapers? I mean, that's how old I am.
I remember newspapers. I think I'm the last person on the New Jersey Transit train who actually carries a hard copy of the New York Times. And by the way, I throw it away before I go into any interviews, because I don't want anyone thinking
right.
that I still actually have a paper in my hand.
Man. Well, you mentioned also, and I had to pull it out, it's not done in polite company, but you mentioned it, so I'll mention it. You're mid-career. You're not end of career.
Yeah.
You're not post-60 trying to pivot into a new field. You're just barely post-40 trying to pivot into a new field. So this is coming a lot faster for a lot more people, or am I misreading that?
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think that so many of us in many industries, technology in the digital world has blown up many of our industries, from entertainment and marketing and advertising and media. And we all are feeling like if we don't learn new skills, we're going to become irrelevant. And as we've also seen, you know, the way that the workforce is eliminating jobs very quickly, you know, sort of like Dan Lyons, as he's wrote about in his book, Disrupted, a lot of companies are treating their employees like disposable widgets today. And I've witnessed that firsthand. I mean, I've been fired. My last boss was 29 years old, and she's a rock star. She's great. But the way that the company treats its employees, when they think that you're just too expensive, and as I was told, you know, in a very sweet way, we can hire 3 people for your salary.
Right.
So what do you do with that? I mean, that is a tough piece of reality to swallow. That is not that they don't like you. It's not that you're skilled. It's not that you're not creative or capable or talented or committed to the company. It's that you just cost too much.
You know, that's a cautionary tale, because they tell you, and you've learned through most of your career, that nobody values your work as you do. So you have to show self-respect by valuing your work, by putting a price on your work and what you're bringing as far as a skill set goes. But you got to worry about pricing yourself out of a market, or B, you've got to worry about always looking over your shoulder, justifying your salary.
Oh, I mean, that is the conundrum that we're in. And I think for women in particular, you know, we often devalue ourselves and we don't know our value and we're afraid to fight for more money. So we have a quandary happening right now where we're being told, you know, fight for what you're worth and go to your boss and demand more money and speak up for yourself. And we have this gender wage gap going on. So we need to be aggressive and we need to solve for that. And yet at the same time, the same people are telling us we cost too much money. So while they're encouraging you to go speak up and be bold and be brave, you don't really know what that tipping point is, where you're going to be unaffordable to the company and then lose your job. And by the way, I do want to say not all industries are affected. You know, medicine and academia, law, those are largely unaffected by what's happening in the digital world. But all of these other creative areas, and certainly all of the startup companies where they just really want to bring people in cheaply, it's really unfortunate. So while you might have a more experienced worker who really, really wants to get in there, you know, they're dying to work at a Snapchat. They're dying to get on that rocket ship of, you know, the next hot company, not because of a potential IPO, but because they really want to be around that energy and that creativity and the innovation. And yet the salaries are often quite unaffordable for grown-ups who need to be paying their mortgages and thinking about braces for their kids and college education.
That was Wendy Sachs. She's the author of Fearless and Free, How Smart Women Pivot and Relaunch Their Careers. Now, Wendy started her career on Capitol Hill as a press secretary, moved into TV news, working at Dateline, CNN, and Fox. Then she switched gears into PR, working at several startups, and she's also been laid off a few times, freelanced, and then consulted as well. The woman has pivot experience. There was one more question we wanted to get an answer to, so we're going to start the next segment with the tail end of this one with Wendy.
Engineering your own serendipity. So that's creating your own good fortune. And how do you make that happen?
So please stick around because that's coming up next. And while we're on the subject of teasing ahead, we have some other topics ahead for this hour of Techonomics. We have a smart glass company that's moving some very cool technology into the residential sector. Usually smart glass is mostly for office buildings. And we're going to look at some new numbers around which airlines are best for passengers and which frequent flyer programs may be worth considering depending on what you want from our sky taxis. That's all coming up next, so we hope you will stick around. If you can't, check out our podcasts at iTunes, Stitcher, and Audio Boom. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please, come on back.